It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
My next guest was recently named Comedian of the Year at the American Comedy Awards. Please welcome the very strange Carrot Top.
You're a funny guy, man, and you at least used to take a lot of shit. And I never understood it.
I don't either.
Listen, I've got to go down to Atlantic City. I'm performing at Bally's. You just heard about this today? They had a cancellation, and they instantly called me.
Who canceled?
Carrot Top. I told you, my career is fine.
Welcome to another episode of Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. I'm the host of the show. And my guest today is someone named Bradley Cooper.
So excited to be here. It's Carrot Top behind me.
Yeah. Hi, Carrot.
Hey, what's up?
I've always been a guy that's considered the source. I mean, I was always picked on as a kid, but when I'd come home, my mom would, you know, what happened? I picked on me. Who was it? And it was this guy. Well, consider the source, right?
Yeah.
So it's always been that with comedy, too. Like when, you know, George Carlin said I was funny, that negated every... that said I suck.
So I think it's time to go into the complaint department. First thing on my list tonight, airport security. There's too much of it. Did you pack your bags yourself? No. Carrot Top packed my bags.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
What a way for us to open up our last day here in Las Vegas.
Come on, man.
We are at Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Tanny is here. Shane is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
And sitting next to that man is Carrot Top.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was fun listening to that little montage, too. I thought that was and Jay Leno. Then the guy's strange. I think I'm that strange.
Yeah.
But the Carlin thing is in my show. You know, I put that whole clip in there, and it's a really beautiful setup. Because when he does it, you know, I do like the "I'm not worthy" kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just a funny bit. Yeah, pack your bags, you know, Carrot Top.
We saw the show. God, what was that? Like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. Shane and Tanny and our old colleague Danny Parkins, and it's like, man, Lawrence, the show was so good.
You guys kept talking about it.
Oh, there were so many jokes. It's like insane. And just like the last day or two, once we knew you were coming, it's so great that you're here. Trying to remember all the jokes. I can't. How many gags are in the show? Do you have any
idea? Can't remember any of them either. That's the problem. there is a lot. I don't know if we can, but there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of props. There's a lot of stand-up. There's a lot of
video kind of wall jokes. You know, I do like a Trump thing, and then the Trump thing comes up behind me. So it's like another visual aid as opposed to just holding up a prop.
That's the thing. Like, it was so layered. It was so much better than it needed to be.
No.
Like, you could probably just entertain people at one-third of that capacity.
Okay.
You know, and take their money. But, like, you give a crap. You can tell.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You're not coasting.
Well, I think that's the most key to the whole thing. And maybe why I've been around a long time. Is if you ever any kind of show you go see and they're just walking through it, it's a horrible feeling, right? Because the audience can sense it, and you even sense it.
Yep.
Like, I don't give it, like you said, I don't give a shit. And the crowd knows. They're not stupid. My crowd, it might be stupid, but they know. They know. They know right away.
Yeah, right.
I know that you've talked about the Carlin thing before, but for you at that time, what did it mean to know that guy endorsed you?
Everything in the world. I mean, literally. It was, to this day, probably almost the best clip I could just die watching it and be done, because it was my hero. And for him to say my name out loud in his special, it floored me. That's why I put it in the show every night, too. We do it's an homage to a lot of the comedians that inspired me, like this music. That inspired me.
Yeah, let's be honest. We're in a ridiculous spot in the world. Have you been here before? Circa Resort and Casino is an amazing place.
Yes.
And they've married this, like, this pool culture. Have you been to pools in Vegas? You're the king of Vegas.
Do I look like I go to a pool? I'm clear.
Yeah. But, like, they've married this pool thing, and so we got disco music and all the sports in the world, and, of course, sports radio, and, of course, Carrot Top.
It's
all of these things, of course, go together. This is natural.
How did you decide that this was going to kind of be home base? Was this just where the money was, or were you like, I just want to be out here?
No, it happened by accident. I had never performed in Las Vegas, and I was performing on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
As one does.
As one, right. I did that all the time, and I would destroy on that show. And this guy walked over and said, man, like, where do you get all this stuff? And I said, I make it. And he said, you make this? Like, he thought I bought it in a, you know, in some store. I found some of the stuff in junkyards, but turned them into jokes. But he said, you must just kill in Vegas. And I said, I've never been. And he said, you've never been to Vegas? And I said, no. He said, you are Vegas. The whole act, the look, the visuals, the thing. So I said, okay. And he said, if I get you a booking there, would you do it? Now, I'm a whore. Of course I did. So they booked me at Bally's Casino in 1995.
Wow.
And I did one show, and they came into me and said, we got to move you to another room, a bigger room. And I never stopped playing Vegas. It was just that one guy got me there.
Wow.
He was Kathleen Gifford's manager, of all things. And I just took the gig, and then we did about a year at Bally's, and then the MGM asked me to go there, so we were there 10 years.
Wow.
And now we've been at Luxor 19 years, almost 30 years in Vegas.
So, 30...
so none of this was here. Well, some of this old downtown was here.
Yeah. Right.
That guy over there and that piece there. That
he was there. Yeah, you can tell.
He was here.
You can tell he was here. He's aging pretty well.
Yeah,
think,
looks
actually.
Good. Yeah. Looks good.
And so we're talking 30 years? We're like 30 years steady?
In Vegas, yeah. 40 years in comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. But 30 years steady in Vegas. I mean, who else has done 30 years straight at this point?
I don't think any. I mean, we have that question about the longest running. My crew says mine's the longest running. But it's like Penn and Teller, Copperfield, maybe?
Maybe.
But they're magic. See, so I'm comp. So,
yeah.
And Penn and Teller doesn't talk, so he doesn't count.
So yeah. That's like half the time.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't.
Me and, so it's Penn, maybe. Penn, not Teller.
Yeah. Teller was a Latin teacher at my high school.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he was a Latin teacher.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he was a mime teacher. No.
Yeah, no, and he was apparently really funny. He was a little before me, but, like, he was apparently really funny.
Awesome.
But I've never heard his voice. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable thing.
I have heard his voice.
So who are the kings of Vegas entertainment? Because, like, to me, like, Carrot Top is, like, at this, you're talking about 30 years, man. And it was packed the night we were there. And so who do you consider, like, a colleague in terms of a Vegas comic?
Well, there's not a lot of comics. You know, it's the guy who comes through.
The guy with the puppets? Is he Jeff Dunham?
Oh, Jeff Dunham. Yeah, but he comes in and out. He doesn't stay.
Okay.
So as far as just a permanent resident, there's not a comic.
Were you ever hesitant about the permanent residency?
Absolutely. Sure.
Why?
I was a road guy. I was on a tour bus. I was that guy. This is like a desk job, you know. I'm not going to punch in every night. And so I reluctantly did it. The 10 years were in and out at MGM for a bit. I would go on the road, but still. But then the Luxor was full-time.
Yeah.
And so I said no at first. And then they came back and said, you want to rethink this? And I said, no, I don't want the gig. And so I did a year. And then I said, oh, I want more years. So I just kept signing like 5 years and 5 years and 5 years and five. So now I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know.
It seems like a healthy life. If you can survive the ridiculousness.
Right, right. See, that's what you do. You don't really go here ever. You know what I mean? You go home. So you do the show and you go home, and that's how you survive Vegas.
Yeah.
Because people are like, how do you do a month in Vegas? I'm like, because I go home. I don't, you know.
Yeah. One of my best friends does a show downstairs for VSiN. And I asked him about that because I'm always curious about people who live in Vegas. He's like, man, I live 25 miles away from here.
Yeah, right.
I come down here to work, and then I leave.
Right, right, right.
And
sure.
go home.
That's what most, I mean, you know, the hookers on the blow. I have that at home. I have. You know,
that's smart.
Right.
It's more controllable
right,
that way.
Right, right.
In terms of quality and access.
Right. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, you have your own stash, your own thing.
Do you guys need any? Do you and Jeff, your manager, do you need any hookers and blow?
No, we're good.
Okay.
We are overlit. We are way good.
All right, good.
I mean, look at us.
People can on Twitter. It's amazing. We're trying to remember like what sports gags are in the show, because like the volume of gags and the trunks and everything that's there. There was a Packers helmet with tissues, but I don't remember the context.
Well, the joke was, I think it was right. Your buddy here just said, I think it was when right after Aaron Rodgers had left Green Bay.
Yeah.
So I had a helmet. I was like, ooh, you know, they lost their leader. But the best part about that helmet, this is great. It kills everyone. Now it's a Chiefs helmet because, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not making this up. So what every year it was, the Buffalo Bills lost four Super Bowls in a row.
Yes, sir.
That's when the prop originated. So I did it on, you know, Jay Leno and whatever, and it killed. I mean, it was like the Buffalo Bills, oh, my God, right? And then I was walking through an airport, and it was in Philadelphia, and this big, huge black guy walked up to me and said, I play for the Buffalo Bills. And I was like, oh, awesome. And then I realized, oh, shit.
He
was just happy. I'm so great. Nice to meet you. Like he wanted to meet me. And then I thought, oh, crap. He goes, you think that's funny? I said, no. Well, it is, but it's not. I mean, you know, I had a few things. But that's been around for that long. So it's like we call it the prop that keeps on giving. So it will be every week during football season, it'll be something different.
Yeah.
So it keeps. And then we made it a basketball one. We made it a baseball, a hockey helmet. So it's like the gift that the prop that keeps on giving.
So it's you got living bits. You got living bits that
change. Definitely has been around for a long time.
What other sports?
We have every helmet. They're all backstage painted. So you just grab a Green Bay. Yeah.
Whatever one fits. Yeah. What other sports gags on the show now?
Well, there's one that one of my favorite ones. Speaking of it, sports was Mike Tyson. So when he got into that fight when he bit the guy's ear, right? It was a big deal. Of course, I have to have a prop. So I made a boxing gear, you know, the red boxing thing that goes over your head with like ears on it. Big ears, and it was on it was on everything. It was on the cover of USA Today, ESPN, because it was so visually funny. And I said, I made this for Tyson's opponents to wear, so they'll have something to chew on, right? and we're Tyson to chew on it. So I don't know. I do it. It kills, and all of a sudden I'm at a sporting event some event.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to, God bless him, he's no longer here with us, Dennis Hopper, and I'm like. I'm just like, wow, Dennis Hopper. And he's like, Carrot Top. And he's like, I'm like, Dennis Hopper knows me. And he's like, knows my act. He goes, hey, you know that Tyson thing? And I said, yeah. He goes, God damn, that is so funny. And I said, yeah, I got a lot of miles out of that. And he looks, I swear to God, he looks up. And he goes, oh, you know Mike, right?
Oh,
and
I said, no.
And I look up, and Mike Tyson is walking over to give him a hug. And he hugs him, and he goes, how you doing? And he's hugging him. His eyes are looking at me behind Dennis Hopper's head. So he's hugging Dennis, but I'm looking right at Mike Tyson. And he just stops. He's like, hey, you're the one that did the helmet with... And I said, he's trying to get, like, he's like, you think that's funny? And I said, No. And he punches me like a fun punch.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still sore from it. It was about 8 years ago. It was just, he just went, yeah. And I was like, ah, right? And then he hugged me and said, oh, we're a good kid, you know, we're good.
Oh,
but it was
wow.
It was a scary moment, you know, because people always say, do people get mad when you make props about him? I'm like, he did.
Right, so and there are a lot
the
of
last
stories
one
about,
you want to be mad at you.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories with Mike Tyson where the story doesn't end like that.
Right. Yeah, right. Mitch Blood Green did not get a loving tap.
There's a lot of guys who used to date Robin Givens, too, like Brad Pitt, who had to jump out of a hotel room because Mike was coming. Wow. So
Dennis Hopper playing defense on Mike Tyson.
Yeah, he was, too. He's like, hey, you don't care. He's a good kid.
The last time we saw you, that trunk of props was massive.
Yeah.
So I'd assume you have a warehouse,
yes.
Right? What's the size of the warehouse, and how often do you have to go back there
to grab new things? It's a pretty good-sized warehouse. It's right across from the Luxor, and it's full of stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool. You walk in there and you're like, oh, there's all the Clinton stuff and all the, you know, all the eras of the 80s and all the MTV boxes that I did on MTV. And
yeah.
It's cool. I go through and I always want to pull stuff back in. And they're like, no.
Anybody ever come and filmed you there? Like,
yes.
Talking through
it and
stuff?
Yeah, the Oprah people did.
They oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So do you build? Do you build stuff? Does Jeff build stuff?
No, you got builders? I have a guy that if I can't build it, I have them. But I usually build it all myself. Unless it's something that really needs to be like an engineered kind of thing. I had a NASCAR hat that... It has little cars that go around your head so you can feel like you're at the race, you know. That I can't go to NASCAR. It's but it's great. But you wear it and it goes. Vroom, vroom, vroom. So that took a little bit of engineering to me.
And with you being part of the craft part of it, does it allow for you to even think deeper about what the jokes might be? Because you're literally putting your hands on it.
Yeah. I usually have to make it myself because I know how it's going to, the feel of it and how I'm going to present it. And another sports prop, you never call your own stuff brilliant, but this is, I'll tell you why it's brilliant.
Own it.
Because they stole it. So I was living in Charlotte. I had just gotten into comedy and there was a baseball strikes or something that, right, the players were on strike. And I'm in my garage, right, with a baseball bat. And I'm like, I got to think of something funny about this strike. So I took a baseball bat and I just put a piece of wood and a screw, right? A piece of wood about that big and a screw.
Yeah.
And it would pop, right? When you, like that, you'd swing it but pop it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this is a bat for baseball players so that at least it sounds like they're getting fucking hits. Because no one was hitting. And I still have it in my warehouse thinking it would go in the warehouse. But I remember thinking, this is ingenious, right? Whammo now has a bat. You swing it and it goes,
wow.
Yeah.
So you can take a practice swing and get that
positive
reinforcement.
Yeah, right. So you feel like you're getting a hit. But and so the stadium be like, ooh, there's a hit. You know, but then
And I think the Whammo has like the crowd noise.
Yeah, they probably have even the crowd thing. They took the initial fuckers, you know.
So
a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
I have a few they've done.
We're terrestrial radio. Just
oh,
so you
sorry,
know. You're good. But give it a minute. What
my
do we
mute
need?
Button. I have a mute button.
We need 45 seconds for it to.
Yeah, we've got like 30 seconds. The delay will reset.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're with Carrot Top.
I mean, you wouldn't have
6-7 in the score.
Right.
Yeah.
He might expect that with Dennis Leary, but not Carrot Top.
What did Dennis Leary ever do to you?
Nothing. He's great.
Okay, good.
Love Dennis Leary.
Yeah. So you got patents on all this stuff?
I do. I started to do now that I've had a few stolen.
Right?
The other one that was, and it's great. There's three or four that are big.
Okay.
This one's not a sports one, but I guess it could be sports. When you go to the bathroom, right? The urinal, the toilet seat,
yes.
Right? I made it where it would light up. So you guys wouldn't miss it. That's in every store now.
And I
made that, you know, with Christmas lights and built it in with a little button. And I had, you know.
It's amazing.
Toilet seat. You know the toilet paper?
Yeah.
Where you take it over. Some people like it under.
Yes.
So I had this prop. You talk about elementary. I said, you like paper, the toilet paper over. Half the crowd would clap. So how many people like it under? And they would clap. I said, see, you just flip it. And if you flip it, it goes over. And if you flip it this way, it goes under. And people, the crowd would be like, I go, I know it's just, it's not funny, but it's like, what?
It's genius.
It's genius. And so then now they have, some guy made that, and it's in the Home Depot now.
See?
Was there ever a point, because you got so much grief, about what you were doing and your creativity that you thought, all right, maybe I need to just let the props go and I'll just go out there and be funny on my own? And
well, no, because I never, that was the show. That was what it was. I was proud of the props, and I used to find it funny that they would give me grief for doing them. I mean, I say we, it's not my audience, it's not the people, it's not America, it's not the American people, it's comics that were giving me crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like we said in the intro, it was always, who said it? So if it was like George Carlin said I was funny, Gary Shandling came up and said, yeah, it was great. And then I got some guy in his basement in Nebraska saying that I'm a hack.
Yeah.
You know, you consider, I got Carlin. I got a pretty good team of people. So I was the prop guy. I like doing the props. And so I never once tried to change that and just stand up. Now, I wanted to do this on The Tonight Show one time. I told Jay, I said, Jay, I want to do a whole set without props. I want to wheel it out, though, and have it there. But I'm not going to open it. I'm just going to do stand-up. And he was like, "But that's crazy." And I'm going, "So, they're not going to do your character." So I said, "No." And he was all for it. But the people were just terrified. Like, what if it? I said, "All right, if it starts to eat it, I'll go into the box." But they never let me do it.
Good self-edit right there, by the way.
Was there? But now my show is probably, I would say, 65% stand-up.
Was there anyone in the community that had maybe dogged you out that came back and was like, you know what, man? I had it completely wrong.
I feel like that's happened a lot.
Hundreds.
I feel like if there was a wave of like Carrot Top disdain,
yeah.
It has shifted.
I feel like a lot of that changed after the Marc Maron interview.
I was just going to say that.
Okay, yeah. So what was
no,
that like?
That was
10, 15 years ago. He made the whole deal about he was one of the guys that was kind of like.
On WTF.
Yeah.
And he had a volatile Gallagher interview like the same year or the year before or something.
Exactly right.
When it became obvious that Gallagher was troubled and angry and resentful and problematic, and like it became clear that you were a good human, you know what I mean?
Right,
and that mattered, I think, to people.
It did, and that's exactly what I have. It came on the Marc Maron Across on that show, and people were coming out of the woodwork after that, saying, like, man, I love that. Then with Joe Rogan, that got in a whole another audience that was like, you're right, people are calling and say, yeah, but I never liked you, but I do like you now,
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It only took 40 years to get people like me.
But it's amazing what happens when you actually let people in to, like, the realness and the crazy, like, whatever our version of crazy is. It's like people are like, oh, I get it. He's nuts.
Right, I get it.
Like, I'm nuts. Like, I remember realizing when we're watching your show, there was so many levels going on. Like, you were doing a show to the audience, but you were commenting on the show in your mind and then commenting on how the audience was reacting while also commenting on whatever your thought process was, and then sometimes commenting on that. And I was like, all right, there's like four or five levels of conversations going on here. And at some point, I was more tuned into that than I was even at the jokes. And I'm laughing at the jokes, I'm laughing at the props, but I'm like, look how comfortable he is communicating on all those levels. It's like, that is some evolved and like open, vulnerable realness that's very appealing, frankly.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? So, like, have you always had that many voices in your head? Like, you have more control?
I think I've had more at one point, but I've had therapy since then. No, there's a lot of things. You're right, though. There's a lot of things happening in the show that I don't even know I'm doing. So most of my friends that come say, I love the under-the-breath stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when under-the-breath stuff? When you're commenting, I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So I never watch the show. I'm one of those guys. I'm not going to watch myself. We record every night, but I've never watched it.
But yeah, that under-the-breath stuff, it's like, was there a point where you got comfortable just letting yourself do all of that?
It was just one, it was a, I don't even know. We've had discussions about when it happened. It happened way before COVID, but after COVID, it was kind of an interesting thing. I was the first one to come back to perform, but they wouldn't allow 40 people in the room.
Yeah.
So my joke, opening joke is I've got more props than people. I mean, this is literally. And they're all spread out too, right? So the first 20, 40 feet was all roped off. And I would say, well, this is, Gallagher bombing here, because I'm not hitting anybody.
No watermelon on anybody.
No Smash-O-Matic.
And it was, so they had a lot of joke. But then I started getting more comfortable and just doing stand-up because I couldn't do the props because no one could see them. So I just started telling stories and more stories telling, and now it's become, really has evolved into more of a stand-up storytelling show than it used to be, more manic and prop-driven.
Yeah, and now it feels like it's like the story of your life going on.
Yeah, in
like
a sense.
We see you on Star Search.
Right.
We see like the whole arc of a...
Yeah, it's fun to show people that because they don't realize it. You know, they're like, Star Search? I'm like, yeah, I'm old. Google it.
Hey, Chappelle started on Star Search, too.
Yeah,
I saw
a
clip of that the other day, and I was like, oh, I totally remember this.
I forgot about that.
Scott, man, this was a real delight. Thank you for coming by and hanging out with us, man.
I got to tell my Chicago thing real quick.
Because, please,
this is great only for you. Your audience would love this.
Please.
So you know the Cubs logo, you know CUBS.
Yes.
So I always made parody shirts, always, you know, Coca Cola, Classic, Carrot Top, or whatever. So we were playing Chicago, and I said, "Ooh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a Carrot Top Cubs shirt." So it says CTOP. Right? It fits perfect. It looks like a Cubs shirt. I mean, literally.
Oh, I want one. Did you make one?
Yeah, we made tons of them, but it's funny. So I'm walking around somewhere in Chicago one day with that shirt because I thought, you know, I'm wearing my clever Carrot Top Cubs shirt. And this guy's like, "Cubs suck." And I said, "No, it's a Carrot Top shirt." And he goes, "Carrot Top sucks too."
Both institutions. They're not going anywhere. Neither the Cubs nor the Top is going anywhere.
Scott, if people are coming to Vegas, how can they see you?
They can see me. They can see me. We see out in Vegas? What was your question? Music got right in my ear.
No, it's all good, man. If fans are flying out here after hearing this, they want to see you. How can they see you?
Oh, it's the Luxor Hotel Casino. We're there every night, 8 o'clock. Every night but Sundays, yeah.
Man, this is a joy. This has been a dream since we saw you that night, man.
Thank you for coming to the show, too, and thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
What a pleasure, man.
The amazing Carrot Top.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
That's the way you start a Vegas show.
Yes, that's an excellent way to start things off. We need to take a timeout. We will reset. We hope that you enjoyed it. Looking at all the reactions on Twitch and the text line, it seems like you did, and that's all thanks to Scott. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about the craziness that happened in the city last night. That's next here on The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay,
Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, we are here at Circa. We will be here for the next two shows. It was exciting for me and peaceful for me to get here yesterday as I just strolled down Garfield Boulevard to...
There you go.
22 minutes. For 22 minutes to get to Midway yesterday.
Nice. That sounds really nice. Spiegs, what happened when we landed?
Oh, when we landed?
Oh, here we go for a ride. Here we go. Tony?
Barnes, I've tried to pull out my bag from the overhead compartment.
Did you drop it on a person?
No, don't do this. Please, don't do this. Yeah, get up. Let's get up.
I hit a woman in the head with my bag by accident, and she was upset, understandably, and I apologized vociferously, and then she said, while you're up there, could you grab my cane?
Oh.
So I grabbed her cane, so I hit an invalid in the head with my bag.
Boink.
Is that a problem?
That son of a bitch! Damn his soul! You son of a bitch! Don't you hit her! You bastard!
But then, like, I helped like three other people with their bags. Taddy, you
That's
saw.
That's when I jumped in. I yes. was like, oh, there's a bit of a commotion going on up there by Speak. It's like, oh, he's just being a nice boy and helping people with their bags.
That's yeah. all
oh,
I was
boy,
doing.
Did he help them with their bags.
Yeah, dude, your right. relationship with the limpers in Vegas is wild.
I know.
It was unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
It was an accident, but I made nice by grabbing her cane for her. So, everything's
fine. And then you hit her with it.
Oh! I had no idea that it had gotten like
it
that.
It got like that briefly.
And there's the reason why I'm getting the f*** off in everyone. They either believe it or they cannot believe it. But I am telling you right now, that mother f***.
Spiegel guy.
What's his first name?
That mother f*** back there is not real.
And now, live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sportsbook, it's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I am enjoying people reacting to the Carrot Top interview on Twitch. And if you were on Twitch, you got a whole different interview.
Yeah, you did.
Than other people got.
We had, to remind him he was on terrestrial radio. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's right.
And you know, for the first time ever in my career, I was actually okay with it.
The man was loose.
He was rolling.
He was loose.
He was rolling, and I was like, all right, look, we trust everyone back at the ranch. Tanny is right here. So
I can do back here
in Vegas. He's got no buttons.
Well, I mean, you can at least say, dump him.
Yes.
And I'm like, let this man cook. Because he deserves the opportunity to cook.
Yeah, you know, Tanny, was that someone, a texter said it, sometimes they'll catch stuff we miss. Was that the overture to A Clockwork Orange?
Of course it was, yeah.
Because who else but
Tanny?
I mean,
come on. That was the music backdrop in the bed in the open for Carrot Top.
This is why he's the best at what he does.
Yes, he is. And Shane is the best ever at meeting Carrot Top and his manager at the valet downstairs.
Now,
we
need a debrief on Carrot Top's whip. Like, what truck or car? So
here, to whiteboard this for everyone, we were initially going to have Carrot Top go to the garage at what they believe they call it the Garage Mahal.
It's Garage Mahal across the street because that's what we were told. Just send them to the garage and then we'll pay for their ticket. And I texted the manager. The manager said, no, LOL.
But part of it is because his vehicle might not fit.
And do we find out what vehicle
that's
it is?
That's what Tanny's saying. That Shane's got to find out. My guess is like an F-350.
That's
like with room to have all the stuff in the back?
Sure, it could be. Or is it a tank? Does the man just drive around Vegas in a tank?
It is Las Vegas.
Some kind of off-roading vehicle, you know what I mean, that he could do, you know, in his spare time, just, you know.
Yeah. Because you don't have to go very far to be able to do that here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. So he could drive whatever the hell he wants.
I saw an advertisement for a trip where if you want to get your helicopter shooting on, you can do it.
That's downstairs in the concierge stand?
Yeah.
Essentially?
You can actually, because they have like the ranges, and now they have like open space where you can go out.
So you can be on a helicopter and fire a gun.
Yeah.
And we didn't book this for the show as a bonding experience. Although us, you know, in helicopter, us four, you know, the afternoon show, we can't have all of us.
Yeah.
Wait.
Someone has to just stay here.
Yes,
Ray
the engineer with a thought. thought.
Can you expense the helicopter trip?
We could if we talked about it.
The pedicure?
Yeah. Thanks. Wow, look at that. Callback. Callback to yesterday from Ray the Engineer.
I feel like if we got video of it and sent it to our guy Connor O'Donnell.
Yeah, did socials with
it. And it was on social, I think Mitch would be like, all right, fine. You guys went out on a helicopter for an hour and shot.
Somebody would get shot, though. It'd be a problem. It's like, oh no, we accidentally shot Waddle and Sylvie. Oh, that's too bad.
I like those guys.
I know. Carmen and Yurko, should I have gone with that?
Let's not shoot any people.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Let's not.
That's a good idea.
Those people be low on my list of people to shoot recently.
Yeah. Oh, who's on that list?
5 o'clock hour. Lawrence's list.
We'll get that list together. We'll get that list together for people.
Folks, we know it exists.
And because he's on it. Now listen.
In the 5 o'clock hour, you start a Vegas show with Carrot Top. That means by rule, you must end a Vegas show with Brent Musburger. So that's what we'll be doing at 5:30 for you, the Score listener. And in between, we got a lot of great sports to hang out and discuss.
Yeah,
man.
There's a lot going on today's show. Cody Westerlund's going to join us at 3:25. Connor McKnight, McDoink, will be back on the Score airwaves again. I know he was on Hit and Run. He's going to join us at 3. I saw your mind getting ready to be like.
He also did Molly and Hall one time before that. It's all good.
But now he'll be back.
On a real show.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
he'll be. I did.
Because you want the smoke? Yeah, he's getting that Carrot Top afterglow right now. He's ready to fight everybody.
It's true. Shout out to Dan Krigowski.
Yeah, you came through, your guy, and his lighting guy.
The lighting guy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I mean, we got a relationship now. We're tight with the top.
We're efforting Carrot Top to throw out first pitch at Wrigley. That's what we're trying to make happen. I'm putting it out there in the public space.
I think that we can do that.
I think he's probably done the stretch before. I'm in touch with somebody who used to work over there. He said, I think he's done the stretch before. But, I mean, my God, it's just so damn fun. But, there's a lot going on.
If the Cubs don't want to do it, or White Sox.
Definitely do White Sox. And as a matter of fact, we need to take a timeout.
I'm sorry, Lawrence. The fact that we're going to have Cody and Connor back-to-back is awesome because they're friends of the show who were in the spots that we want to get the vibe from.
So why don't we talk about this, like how we experienced all of this stuff yesterday. What a great day for Chicago sports. And that in itself needs to be said. There's been so much of a dearth of joy when it comes to Chicago sports lately. Yesterday was prime. Everyone's on top of it. It was good. Let's share in the good vibes of that next here on The Score.
So Doncic in play, far sideline, left forecourt. Doncic holding and looking at play to Reeves. Works on Williams to the rim, and the layup is good. 3.3 left. 117-116 Lakers. Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Giddey goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's good! It's good! It's good! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddey from midcourt. The Bulls logo. What a ball game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Josh Giddey. I love you.
You heard the call last night on 670 The Score. Strangely enough, the number one sports story nationally was your Chicago Bulls last night.
How is that even possible, man? Like, it's MLB opening day.
It's the Sweet 16.
And there's Giddey and Vucevic in a still shot on the triple box at the beginning of SportsCenter. I'm sitting at a poker table at the Golden Nugget last night, and the late night SportsCenter comes on, and there's the Bulls. And I'm like, what world is this? We have bemoaned that franchise and ripped every level of the operation. I mean, except PR, they do okay. They seem to be all right. But, like, we've ripped every bit of that thing for years now. They're having a moment. They've won 9 of 11. They swept the Lakers in a home-and-home with both Luka and LeBron healthy and playing.
And you got the wins however you wanted it. You wanted a Bulls blowout, they gave you one of those in L.A. You wanted a buzzer beater, the Bulls gave you that on the West Side last night.
They came back from 16 down. They came back from 5 down with 13 seconds to play. Patrick Williams hit a monster three from the corner.
I don't know if I've ever seen LeBron have a brain cramp like the one he had last night.
On the inbound.
LeBron doesn't make mistakes like that.
I mean, Josh Giddey's steals numbers have been very high.
Yes.
And that is a Josh Giddey steal. Looking back on that several times, it's Austin Reeves who's coming back into the corner to get that ball, and LeBron thinks it's going to be cake.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to do that. And Giddey reads it and knows it. So, yeah, it's a LeBron brain fart, but we got to give Josh Giddey steals some love
here. I give him some credit, but it's like one of those things that you learn pretty early in basketball is that if you inbound in that situation, you're adding a third defender. And in this case, you're adding a third and a fourth.
By using the baseline. Good call.
The baseline and the sideline.
You're
like
so
you
right.
put him in the corner. And that's why that's what I'm saying. Like
nobody puts Giddey in a corner.
No one does that. LeBron never does stuff like
that.
Come on,
that felt pretty good, boys. Come on. You guys with me?
I think he's high, guys.
Sometimes you're fine. He's not.
At least I laughed in the room. It may not have been audible.
You gave me eye contact,
yeah,
too.
No, it's fine.
I needed more.
You needed more affirmation?
That's a you problem, okay? I understand that the Bulls of all teams, the Bulls took away MLB opening day joy for you, which I did not think you had on your bingo card, as they say. But you just got to deal with it and move on.
You're high.
It's a Bulls town now, Speaks.
What do you need? Like, say it again, and then let us react the way you want us to.
I'm good. It's been plenty. I needed Lawrence to take me back down to size. I need Lawrence to tell me to pump the brake. I mean, that was perfect.
That's what people will just say about me. Like, when the show is over, man, he really dulled the mood, man.
Put it on your next listen to our award. You know what I mean?
He was the perfect guy to keep Spiegel down where he needed to be.
He just came in and was just grumpy.
He was the Brian McCann.
I'm the radio police.
No, you can't hit a homer and be happy.
Yeah. He was the Bud Smith. And was it a Bud Smith? Wasn't that the dude?
The Tony La Russa of radio.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Oh, and before, so the Bulls have this magical moment. Meanwhile, over on the south side, we were watching that happen here at Stadium Swim, where you're like, oh, look at that. The White Sox are up 3-0. Would you look at that? Sean Burke is out here dealing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you look at that?
Yeah, man.
They won.
They beat the bejesus out of the Angels, and they threw Nicky Lopez out there.
That's wild.
Well, look, this has been happening for a couple of years now. That the position player pitching, which used to be this bizarre and fun anomaly in baseball, has become much more prevalent because the thought process is why waste one of your good relievers when you need a never-ending succession of dudes with big arms and you need them to be rested and their arm could blow out at any moment because they're going, I'll go in max velocity. I love that guy, max velocity. So,
oh, wait, I didn't mean to salute.
That was an... That was an 8-0 game, right? That's an 8-0 game. There's no, or was it 8-1 at that time?
It's 8-1 final, but yeah, like Nicky Lopez being out there, and you're like, wow, would you look at this? This is what they did on opening day. And the crazy part about what you're talking about is now the position players are like, wait, I should probably be careful about emptying the tank when I go out there too.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason for me to show that I can throw 80 miles an hour or whatever. Like just get us out of this game.
Remember Rizzo wanted to pitch over and over and over and Madden had to be like, Anthony, come on, man.
Because you know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
when he did get the opportunity, here's a little EFIS for you, Freddie Freeman.
Oh, that was fun.
Go and sit down.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. But the man, I felt happy for White Sox fans. Like our listeners have been through it. Like you said in the tease, like Bulls fans have been through it and it's been complicated. And even now in this moment, it's like, should I enjoy this when I know it might not be leading to anything? And the truth is, they've had their play-in locked in for weeks.
That's happening.
Like that is just happening. So I hope people have just let themselves enjoy it.
I'm actually surprised that I have, Speaks. I'm shocked by that. That I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to lean into this chaos because I do enjoy the NBA product. And I do think there are a lot of cool things about the Bulls themselves overall. But they, with the bottom of the Eastern Conference, there's no way that they can get to the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
So you got to kiss it up to God that the Cooper Flag thing, they didn't do it, and it's too bad.
Did you see what Washington did last night?
No.
Did you see how many points they gave up?
Oh, 162 to the Pacers.
What?
I didn't even remember that was Washington. All I saw were the Pacers highlights.
I was watching the game.
Tribute to baseball there, the 162 for you.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
They had 154, but then they upped it.
When I saw it, I saw, like, the end of the third quarter, and they already had 125 points.
They scored 83 and a half. I think it was 45 in the first.
That's just ridiculous. So you can't bottom out enough for this year's Eastern Conference for it to matter.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is that I would like to see them end up in the position of being eighth as the season ends.
Yeah.
And then win your 7-8 game, and then you can escape. If you win the 7-8 game, you can escape to being the 7th seed.
And then, like, White Sox fans, dude, 2022 was up there with one of the most ugly and disappointing seasons for a team in a winning window, like, that I can remember. We were comping it to the 2004 Cubs of, like, oh, this team is good. Oh, wait a minute, they're awful and they're dysfunctional and this is terrible and I'm embarrassed and I'm disgusted and I want to go home. And then 23 was worse. And then in 24, they lost more games than anyone in history. This is the last three seasons they've been through. So I don't know what the big picture is going to be, but I know that on day one, to get that win and to see the video of Will Venable talking to the team and then jumping into the laundry cart and being pushed into the room while they sprayed him with champagne for his first big league win, hell yeah.
It was nice for everyone to have some of the joy. And, you know, White Sox as an organization outside of, like, baseball ops, they work so hard because they're trying to figure out a way to have White Sox fans stay engaged. Like, that's all they're doing is, like, look, we know it's bad. Just stay with us. Just hang with us. And I thought they put together a really cool opening day. The Derrick Rose stuff.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's like.
They did put together cool. I mean, and Brooks went by Buffalo Wings and Rings to hang out with Layla and Marshall and show off the new food and stuff. And they're always great doing that stuff. Like, it's a fun place to go to a ball game when there's a lot of you and
when
you're having
rocking.
A good time.
When
it's rocking.
It was almost like. It was. I hate to say this because it tells you kind of how bad things are. It felt bigger than one of 162. It felt like a game that's played in September, or dare I say October. Like, it felt like that. There was a cathartic, like, exhale from White Sox fans. Like, hey, I'm at a game and I get to actually,
I'm like
enjoy myself.
I'm, like, proud to be here.
Yes!
I can tell people I was here.
I was here on that day.
Yeah. And you know what? Let it last through today, a day off. You know, good for you.
Take
Enjoy
a deep
it.
Breath.
And if you want to feel it and let yourself think, you know what? This is day one of a new thing. Of a new thing. Like, there's a good manager. And the players are saying that. Corey Lee was saying that. Like, the players are feeling like it was day one of a new thing. And sometimes that can have a lasting effect. If you want to let yourself dream on that, go for it. What the hell else is sports for?
So the Bulls were able to win in exciting fashion. The White Sox dominated. And we saw the Cubs lineup do what it was supposed to do. Let's talk about that, and let's hear from their team president next here on The Score.
Josh Giddey, I love you.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.